I don't know, how many brothers are buying them? I please tell my congregation that my wife always had her Bible with her in church, because that's where she left it. Or she didn't have two or three or four Bibles. Those ladies in the church always used to feel sorry for me because I tease her about something like that, and they'd say, "You shouldn't do that." Oh, I haven't done it in a long time. Not since the last time. Great to see everyone tonight and along the year. And you know, it's so wonderful to know how far everybody comes from. Churches are famous sometimes for preaching, sometimes churches are famous for great choirs, and sometimes the church is famous for the fact that they have great music programs, and all you can just list all those things. Some churches are famous for parades. I think Camp Pilgrim is famous, just like the church and so many other churches. We don't have a corner on parade, but how wonderful it is to always exercise ourselves to the full when we have opportunity to praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a church that didn't praise the Lord and you were there? And it really doesn't matter the reason why you were there, but you were just itching to say, "Amen," or "Praise the Lord." And you say, "Oh, no, no, I've got to be quiet." They'll ask me to leave. And so then when you get back in your own church, look at your mate or your best friend and say, "Oh, boy, is it ever good to be back. I can praise the Lord all I want." That's the way it is up here at camp. You can exercise yourself. Just give all the praise and all the glory to the Lord. And thank Him and bless His name. Jesus, we do that even now.
Yes.
We praise You. We
yes.
praise
yes.
You, Lord.
Thank You.
The praise is in our heart. It's there, Lord. And we just give You thanks tonight.
Yes.
Sense Your great presence.
In
Your presence is fullness of joy.
There are
so many other wonderful things that are in Your presence, and we thank You that You come to us when we praise You. So we praise You in faith tonight, that You'll come to our hearts and do the work in our lives and bless us together in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
Some more of you are new, and I think I'll be brief. Maybe I'll say a little bit more about it in the morning. But our theme is, the Bible tells me so. And if you remember one of the first songs that we learned when we were young Christians or young people, it's, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for
the Bible tells me."
Tells us so much, doesn't it? Just like we heard something new and thought it, nobody ever thought of it before. And sometimes you have a great truth burning in your heart, and there's always someone will come along and maybe you'll share with them and say, "Oh, this Lord revealed this to me, and this is so wonderful." You're just all revved up over it all, and you get done, and they say, "Oh, I knew that a long time ago." Take the wind right out of your sail. I just discovered that. Well, I knew that. That's old stuff. No. Nothing old stuff about the Bible. It's all new and real and alive, because the Holy Spirit makes it that way every day. That's why it's so great to read the Bible, because It isn't that the Bible changes, it's you and I, we're the ones that change. It's a testimony of us. Change happens in us, and we're different. And so the Bible comes anew in our hearts. Tonight I want you to turn, and we want to look at another one of these great subjects of what the Bible tells us, because we've gone through 13, 14, 15, I don't know how many we've gone through by now, but tonight we're going to talk together about praise and how praise befits us when we exercise ourselves to give praise to the Lord. In the 19th chapter of Luke and the 40th verse, we have the story of Jesus going in to Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry, and he's on his way into Jerusalem. This is a story that's recorded by all four gospel writers. They all include it, and apart from maybe his birth, life, death, and resurrection, there's no incident that's known any better than the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem as he presents himself and makes his move. 6 months before that, he was up in Galilee, and the scripture says at that point, Jesus set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem because he knew what would be taking place there. He's been on his way. When we see him here in verse 28, he's on his way down the Mount of Olives, and he's on his way into Jerusalem for four very important reasons. One, he's moving in the will of God. Two, he's coming to die for sin. Three, he's going to fulfill scripture, and he's in the very act of it. And fourthly, he's coming as a Passover lamb. He's going to present himself as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist had that tremendous revelation. And, you know, when you read things about how great John the Baptist was, they are true. Those things that Jesus said concerning him as being the greatest. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he was not only a prophet in the Old Dispensation, he was a prophet in the New Dispensation, the time of Christ, because he was here on earth and became the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So John not only had the privilege of pointing back and saying, there's a lamb that's coming, and here's the lamb, and then he introduces him in his proclaiming that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and all that the Lord had revealed to him. He knew this because the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove at the waters of baptism, and the Lord spoke from heaven. So it was John who had this revelation of the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God. You hear him saying it, and people trying to put two and two together, because they had been offering lambs and sacrifices for so many hundreds of years. And now he doesn't go into the full explanation, and he doesn't give us all the reasons when he makes that declaration in Jerusalem and in Judea and wherever the Lord took him before he took him home. But he was declaring that this was a lamb that would finish off all the sacrifices, bring an end to all those things. And Mark and Matthew and Luke and John all tell us that there were a lot of people that were following along. They went before and after as Jesus started on his triumphal entry. One says much people, another one says whole multitudes, Another one says, a lot of little children. And then the other one says, multitudes that went before and went after, because people were saying when he came in, who is this? Who is this coming in? And they're listening to all these praises of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in the shadows, you know who's watching. They're always around, aren't they? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And they're just kind of eating their hearts out. They don't like anything about this. And they're critical. And they don't really want any part of it. They never join in any of this joyous praise, and it's spontaneous praise. It's this praise that is something that, while they are emotionless and fanatical in their dislike for what's taking place, everybody is rejoicing, and the children are, and there's palm leaves. And it's such a wonderful thing. And all of a sudden, they speak to him and they said, did you hear that? Rebuke those people. Rebuke them. Jesus responds and he says, have you never read? And he quotes from Psalm 8, verse 2. He says, out of the mouth of babes, you have perfected praise. You've brought forth praise to still the enemy and the voice of the avenger. Now, those are interesting words to be used, but we know who that speaks about. That's the enemy of our souls, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And Jesus quotes that verse, reaches back into Psalm 8. And it's always wonderful to know how he knew that scripture. Some people say, well, he knew it because he was God, but he also knew it because he was careful always to be in the synagogue feeding upon the Word of God. And that's what he did, because when he went to Nazareth, he went, the scripture says, this was his custom. That's what he always did. And he was familiar. And he reaches back by inspiration of the Spirit as well. And he says, God has prepared these little ones and those people that are moving around. They are unconscious prophets, and the Lord has ordained that they should be there and that they should sing the praises of the Lord. He's saying that God has prepared for him. His Father has done it for him to have this praise as he came in. It's the fulfillment of Scripture. And it's so beautiful to read how that is done. And he finally says, which is so mighty interesting, that the Lord wants them to praise and to give praise to the Lord, because if they don't praise him, then the rocks and the stones will do what? They'll cry out. And what will they do? They'll praise. They'll praise. Maybe you can remember the time in your life, maybe you didn't say it this way, but I'm sure that you'd say it anyway, because someone put it to song. He said, there's going to be one less stone and one more voice to sing my great Redeemer's praise. I'm not going to let the stones get the blessing from me. I'm going to be the one who gets blessings. As long as there's breath in my body and life, there's people that will say, I'm going to give my Savior all the praise, because if Scripture is true as we know it is, then the blessing will flow down and inhabit our praises, and God will be pleased with our praises and pleased to bless us. So we can say tonight, there's no stone that's going to take our place and steal our blessing. That's what I want to say to you tonight, because that's the wonderful teaching of Jesus upon the Scriptures, that why should blessing be upon the stones? Why should they have the privilege to praise and honor? Why should we be so negligent and dilatory in our response to all the wonderful things that God does in our lives? Why shouldn't we praise Him? Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. What wonderful songs the Lord has given to us. So we go from blessing to blessing simply because we lift our voices in praise to the Lord. I read in one of the notes, it doesn't have to be this Bible, but this Bible doesn't have notes in it, but I have one Bible. I think it's called the Spirit-Filled Bible. I think it was edited by Dr. Jack Hayford. And they have wonderful notes in it. And I was reading again the other day that one of the notes on the subject of praise on this is he said that praise is a mark of a loving relationship that a person has with God. He doesn't need our praise, but He inhabits our praise. And He's pleased when we praise Him because it represents the relationship we have with the Lord and how much we love Him. He doesn't need it, but we're the ones who need to give praise. Because in giving praise, we become beneficiaries of His blessing that comes to us, where the Scripture says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. Anytime the blessing comes upon our lives because we praise the Lord, it comes upon our lives simply because God has all different kinds of blessing to bring to us for whatever we need and for whatever He wants to give to us. And He manifests that blessing in so many different ways. And we could go all evening talking. We could say, how has the Lord blessed you? And you would explain that the blessing of the Lord came in such a way. Maybe it came in wisdom or guidance, or maybe financial need was met. Maybe it was healing. Maybe it was release or deliverance from something. Maybe it was a battle within that the Lord gave you the victory. And His blessing was upon your life, and it enriched your life. Because as we've said so many times this week, that blessing that enriches us and comes to us is something that God is always planning for us. He's always at work. We're always on His mind and in His heart. It's like the names of the children of Israel on the shoulder and the breastplate of the high priest. Always bringing Israel into the Holy of Holies once a year or whenever he was in ministering in any way in the tabernacle or in the temple. Israel was being brought before God by the high priest. And it was kind of a symbolical way to talk about Jesus, our great high priest, who would come. And he would be interceding for us incessantly and would always, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So interceding for us and planning blessing. But that's enough to give praise to the Lord for, isn't it? And just think of all the ways the Lord is at work in our lives. I think of the psalmist who said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How beautiful. You can use your breath and your mouth and your voice and your tongue and your lips in so many ways to speak, but to become a person of praise. They're praising the Lord and they employ all the faculties of their being. And they say, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. What a promise that David made so many, many ways in Scripture. He says in the 63rd Psalm that because of the loving kindness of the Lord, he said, my lips shall praise you, and I will bless you as long as I live. When he wrote in the 104th Psalm, the 33rd verse, I think it was, he said, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And so I'm still drawing breath. I'm going to lift my voice in praise. I'm not going to cease. My last breath will be a praise unto the Lord, is what he's saying. It's like Martin Luther, they said to him as he was almost gone, he said, read to me once more from the Word of God before I leave. I bless God for his wonderful Word. He lived it all his life from the time he was 20, and he made that beautiful book, beautiful, wonderful words of life there, made it his lifelong study, and he loved it, embraced it, held it to himself, and said, these are wonderful words, words of life. And David does this. David says things like, in the 145th Psalm, he says, you know, he said, the generation that's alive now needs to get busy and teach and train and prepare the next generation that's coming along. They need to learn how to be praisers. We need to teach them, and that's the truth. That unless those in this generation take time to talk to the younger generation and say, this generation is going to teach you how to praise you. We're going to encourage them to praise the Lord. We're going to encourage one another to praise the Lord, but so that when another generation comes along, they'll be praisers too. And came into the church and lifted his voice in praise, and sometimes he was praising the Lord. We had a lady in our church that sometimes would praise the Lord at the wrong time. And preacher would be preaching, and she'd be listening, but she kind of, you know, was in and out, not necessarily in sleep, but she was on target. And we remember one night when the service broke up, when she was praising the Lord quite a bit. She was just excited in her spirit. I don't know what I was preaching on, but I must have said something like that. That person went to hell, and she said, praise the Lord. Everybody kind of just looked around and broke out and laughed and looked at her. And because you knew her, but you knew she was a praiser. You may have said it at the wrong time. She was a praiser, and she was a praiser as long as I knew her. And that's a wonderful thing. Every church needs some great praises, people that will lead out in praise and not wait for someone else or look around and say, you know, I hope nobody's looking. Praise the Lord. You know, oft times when visitors are with us in church, it's easy to be confronted by your own pride, and you become so careful about your self-consciousness that you're afraid what others are going to think. But how great it is when people just throw caution to the wind, say, hallelujah, glory be to God, and just lift their voices. And you know, it just absolutely lifts a congregation. Because when one praises the Lord, the Spirit of God, there's just something about the dynamics of spiritual praise and worship that others are led along and pulled along and drawn along and carried along by the Spirit of praise. Our new pastor, I don't think, knows the song we used to sing for many years, let the Spirit of praise arise. Let the voice of rejoicing come in strength and in power. It's a beautiful word. I remember I used to stand up and say, let the Spirit of praise arise. Sing it with all our hearts. Because praise is more than just one voice leading out. It's something that grips all of us, and you're held in the movement and in the working of the Holy Spirit, not to be only responding in worship and in prayer, but to be responding in praise. When the psalmist says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord," he just is simply saying that as long as you have life breath, God's life and breath in you, then you ought to be a praiser. Now these are, all I'm giving you tonight are all these wonderful scriptures that are that the Bible, the Holy Spirit has given to us in the Word of God. the Bible tells us so much about praise and brings so much encouragement to us so that we will get out of ourselves and into the Lord and get into the freedom that, you know, when the Son of God sets you free indeed. And you're free to worship Him and you respond in worship to the Lord, and there's this great freedom that in praise that has a way of lifting and blessing others. And it's just timidity and temerity on the part of some people that are just going to draw back, and they need just someone like you. And you'd say, praise God. Someone else would say, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it? Yes, amen. That's the truth. I love Psalm 71. You might want to look at it for a minute. I hope it says the same thing. It talks about giving praise unto the Lord, and the paraphrase in one of my Bibles was that the psalmist David says, I'm going to find new and more wonderful ways to praise the Lord for all His blessings. I like that because he isn't just content to praise the Lord for one in one way or for one thing or for a number of things. He says in his heart, I'm going to find as many new ways to lift my voice and my heart in praise to God. And I'm going to be studious about it. I'm going to look for ways. Just as you look for in a concordance, and you're looking up a verse of Scripture, and you say, I know it. And there's some of these concordances, Dr. Young and Dr. Strong's concordances, that have every word in the Scripture, every word that's there, every time it's used is singled out in the Scripture. That's what's kind of amazing about praise. Praise is mentioned 300 times in the Scripture. That's a lot of times. But when you're looking and looking through and you find something, you say, oh, I finally found that Scripture. The psalmist says, I'm going to find a new way. And you know, he doesn't enlarge any more about it. He just simply says, I'm going to find more and more ways to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Because out of praise comes healing and comes strength and comes peace. Because you praise the Lord ahead of time before it ever comes. That's one of the great things about David. He got into some tough situations. He was already praising. He wasn't waiting for the answer to praise the Lord. He praised the Lord because he was expecting the answer that would come. And he lifted his voice and began saying, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I praise you for new strength. I praise you for healing. I praise you for the way you're going to speak to my heart or to the hearts of the members of my family. I'm going to praise you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. David in the 100th Psalm, and it gives that call to praise. It's based on three unchanging eternal facts. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us. And then he says, for the Lord is good, for his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So he takes time in there to rehearse and encourage his own heart to praise the Lord. And then he gives us these three solid facts. And he says, why should we praise? Because the Lord is good. And he's good all the time. Because his mercy is everlasting. Man, what a mouthful that is. Mercy being everlasting. It will always be coming our way. It isn't what we deserve. It's what he has promised to give. Mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. I'll bet some of those Old Testament writers wish they could have known all these great songs. maybe they're up in heaven saying, I'd like to be down there joining in that new song. What's the name of that song? It's called The New Song in the Capitol, isn't it? That's right, that new song. And just like they come up with new songs, you come up with new and more wonderful ways to praise God. And that's something to put effort and energy into in your life, to just work at it. And probably more so than anywhere else in the scripture, you find these wonderful psalms. A man by the name of Nave wrote a Bible, which is called Nave's Topical Bible. When you look at it on the subject of praise, like the concordances, he has 8 solid pages where he quotes the passages of scripture in the place and how it's used. And every once in a while, I love to look at that topical Bible. I looked at it a couple times at church because I was looking at all the topics that the Bible tells us about. And I thought, look at all those, man. You could preach for 50 years on all those topics and never scratch the surface. David somehow picked that up in his spirit. He had a lot of trouble, as we said earlier, in his life. There's some big failure in his life. But David was a great praiser. He was a mighty man of praise. And he learned to praise the Lord in so many situations because he knew the value of that praise. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that tongues, when you're speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, that you edify yourself, and that you build yourself up in your most holy faith. That's what the scripture says. Paul says that. And there are people, you know, that come into our churches and they'll say to us, well, that's all you ever do. All you ever do is speak in tongues. Now, most of those people have never been there. They're just taking what other people have said. But they like to say, well, you know, that's all you want to do is you are a selfish people. All you ever think about is yourself. And they say, why do you do that all the time? I said, well, the scripture teaches that speaking in tongues builds us up. Over against what the enemy wants to do, he's always trying to take us down and tear us down and break us down and to keep us from praying and keep us from feeding upon the Word, keep us from growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they say, you're selfish, you're always thinking about yourself. Man, I said, that's exactly right. I plead guilty. I want to be built up in my most holy faith. And if by speaking in other tongues and praying in other tongues, I'm going to build myself up, then I want to do all I can. The same is true of praise. When you praise the Lord, there is that upbuilding that takes place in your heart and in your life. Because praise is an utterance. It's when we use our mouth and our breath and our tongues and our voice box and all that's within us, as the psalmist says. And in scripture, there's place after place where the psalmist says, he speaks about his glory, but he's speaking about his tongue, the glory of man in that sense. He was with his glory, he would lift up his voice and bring praise to God. And he would lift his voice with all the strength that he could muster that he might give praise to a holy God. And you find him saying it in so many different ways. And I want to bypass some of these other scriptures. But I want you to see here that in scripture, the call is the call to praise. And it's always in order to lift your voice in praise. You know, one preacher said, I was preaching in a church, and he said, I preached so well that they shouted me down. He said, they got to shouting, and they got to praising, and He didn't say if it was an Afro-American church or what it was, but I assumed maybe that it might have been. But he said, oh, do I ever love to go to that church, he said, because I only get started. He said, it seems like sometimes all I do is announce my text and they're saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, and he's wanting to say, well, not yet, just hold it a little bit, let me get started here, and just say, oh, hallelujah, you know, he'll say something else, the Lord is good, and then they're off again, and praise to the Lord, and not every church is that way, but that church was. He said, man, I can hardly wait till I get invited back to the church again. He said, I like it. He said, it's just like, when they praise the Lord, it's just like saying, just urging me on to preach, and they're just responding to the presence of the Lord and the working, the sweet working of the Holy Spirit that puts that in our hearts. God puts a song of praise, a psalm of praise, a word of praise, a testimony of praise. Because when we get down to the very gritty of everything, you know, we have so much to give praise to God for. We like to talk about heaven as being a great time when everybody gets an opportunity to testify and to tell what the Lord has done for them. And you know, it's conjecture on our part. We're sure that there's so many things that we do here on earth that will be cultivated even in a greater way because we won't be impeded or held back by weakness or tiredness. You know, there are times when you're praying that you feel weary in body and you're tired and you can't concentrate. And up there, all those disabilities and what the Bible refers to as infirmities, the weaknesses that we experience, that'll be gone. And we'll, you know, the writer said we'll have 10,000 years. It'll be as nothing when we get going and giving praise to the Lord. David said, I will. I talked about that. And praise is a determination. It's something that you and I make up our minds. It's like deciding for Christ. It's like seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's like determining to be a good witness for the Lord. Being a praiser is a determination on our part. We say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Don't look at it now, but in chapter 6, Psalm 63, in about the first three or four verses, seven times, in one form or another, David says, I will. I will. And it's one of his favorite words. He says, I will. I will. I will praise the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord. I will exercise myself in praise to the Lord. And I will bless the Lord as long as I have breath and have strength. I will lift my voice in praise. The psalmist said, whosoever offereth praise to the Lord glorifies me. And to him who ordereth his conversation aright, will I show him my love, my salvation, my redemption. There's this promise. Praise is always an opportunity to find intervention on the part of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And the moment we begin to do it, God begins to work on our behalf. Probably the most familiar story in the Old Testament on praise is in the life of Jehoshaphat, the king, as he's given direction under God to go against the enemy in battle, and the words of encouragement come. He said, the Lord says to him, the battle is the Lord's. He said, all I want you to do is send the praisers and the singers out ahead of the army. and let them sing the praises of God. Let them lift their voices in praise to God. Because the voice of the avenger and the power of the enemy of our souls is broken and broken down completely when we give ourselves to praise. It's a lengthy story, but in 2 Chronicles 20, the story is there, and praise becomes this irresistible power that goes before, and God supernaturally goes to work on the enemy. And it takes 3 days for the armies of Israel to pick up the spoil and to deal with the spoils of that victory. And it all happened because they were obedient in their praise to the Lord. David Wilkerson said something a number of years ago, I think it was in 2000, I thought I remembered him writing something in one of his monthly papers, and it was about the subject of praise, and it was about Israel coming out of Egypt, across and through the Red Sea. And it was in the fourth chapter, and I think it's in the 31st verse of that chapter, that he talks about that the last verse simply says that God gave a victory over the Egyptians, and they were all spoiled and they were drowned, and the horses and the chariots, everything was lost, including the king, and the victory was supreme. In the very next verse, it talks about Moses rising up with the people and leading the people in singing unto the Lord for the victory that was given. And then a little bit later in the, I think it's in the 16th verse of that same chapter, after he's done leading people in singing and in praise and rejoicing, Miriam picks up the truth, and she has the tambourines, and the ladies are with her, and they're all rejoicing. This great multitude is rejoicing in the victory that God has given. And the observation that he makes is so very interesting. He said that they sang the song of victory on the wrong side of the Red Sea. He said they should have sung it when they were still over in Egypt. Because that's what praise is. Praise is before the victory. And great victories will be ours when we praise them. And so his contention was in that little devotional that he had, that it's better to sing the praises of the Lord before the victory comes, while you're still in trouble and in heartache or in battle, and it seems as though nothing will ever come in the victory. Give praise to the Lord. Praise Him in faith. That's praising in faith. He said, then you can do victory and sing victory again on the other side. He said, Israel sang the song of victory on the wrong side of the Red Sea. What a great truth. It's the kind of something that you can kind of just tuck in your Bible or in your pocket and say, you know, the next time trouble comes my way, I'm going to start praising the Lord. Now, that's not easy to do. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. But when you do it, you've done it in biblical order, in the order in which God wants it. He wants us always to move in faith. And when we're praying, we not only pray in faith, but we praise in faith. And we praise in faith until the victory comes. Someone said to me one day, why do we want to silence Satan? And I said, well, that's easy, because Satan's a liar. He's always telling us lies. And he was a liar from the beginning, and James says he's the father of lies, and he's the deceiver, and he's the one who is the accuser of all of us and tries to bring us into condemnation. And he wants your attention, he wants your worship, he wants your service. He just wants you. He called upon Jesus to fall down and worship him, and Jesus resisted him with the word of God. He said, I will not, you know, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him alone shalt thou serve. So, because we want to silence the avenger who's wanting to work against our spiritual growth and development, we need to give ourselves to praise. We need to praise Him not tomorrow, but today. And to keep on praising Him. Keep praising Him. Hallelujah. I want to be praised. I know you want to be praised. Make your home a place of praise. Make your car a place of praise. Make your church a place of praise. Make your own heart and your spiritual life a place of praise. Oh, there's hundreds more of those verses that are there just waiting for you to make home and then to walk the light of them. Jesus, thank you again that you've called us to something so high and holy as to be a praiser of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, a praiser in the house of God and a praiser all the time. Lord, we thank you for that high calling. We know there are other callings. Callings to some type of ministry. But Lord, you call us into this ministry of praise. And we pray, Lord, that you'll make us respond quickly. That we'll not wait till next year at camp or some other time, some other place. But we'll begin more than ever before. And with David, we'll say, I'm going to find new and I'm going to find wonderful ways, more wonderful ways than I've ever known before. And I'm going to find them and I'm going to be a praiser, Lord. I give myself to you. I give myself to praise. I commit myself, Lord, to you, not just to pray and to seek your face, but I will praise you for the victory until the victory comes. Lord, let the spirit of praise arise in our hearts.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.